السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. The religion of deen of Islam can be categorized into two parts. All the actions, everything deen demands of us, can be categorized into two parts. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that do this, do that, this must be done, that must be done. And on the other side, stay away from this, stay away from that. This must not be done, can be divided into two parts. One is the part that is connected to the limbs, to the outer body. For example, salah, it is connected to the outer body. Salah, lift your hands up. After that, use your lips and recite Surah Fatiha. Then after that, your body go into ruku. This is the first category. Actions connected to the limbs, to the body. This is visible. You can see someone performing salah. Recitation of the Quran, a visible action, you can see it. Outer actions are visible actions. And just like in this category, there is things that you must do, there are things that you must stay away from. For example, listening to music is a visible action that you must stay away from. It is an outer action you must stay away from. Misusing your eyes is an outer action, a visible action which you must stay away from. This is one category. Outer actions or visible actions. And within that, there are things that you have to do and there are things that you must stay away from. And if you want to go into a bit more detail, then you can say that this category of outer actions can be divided into three. One is the ibadat, worships. Worships are those actions which are between you and Allah Ta'ala. It's not to do with anyone else. Your salah, it's not to do with anyone else. If you perform salah, it will not benefit any other person. It will not benefit your parents. It will not benefit your neighbor. And if you don't perform salah, it will not. The tilawah of the Quran, fasting. These are the rights of Allah Ta'ala. This is one example of visible actions. Another example of visible actions is transactions. Transactions meaning you are buying something. So deen says that when you are buying something, there are conditions that there is a manner in which you must buy the thing. For example, the item must be clearly described. This is a visible action. It is something which deen demands. It is part of deen. For example, you must not excessively take oaths that, by Allah, I swear this is, you know, the best item on the market. This is a visible action which you must stay away from. So ibadat, worships, is an example of visible actions. And transactions is an example of visible actions. And mu'ashara. Mu'ashara means social life. The guidelines of deen, the governing social life. So what is social life? When you think social life, you think time spent with... No. Social life means, social means contact with other people. So mu'ashara means that how do you deal and how do you engage with other people. So for example, when it comes to your parents, how do you engage with your parents? What must you do? You must obey them. You must, if they're in need of service, you must serve them, etc., etc., etc. If they're financially in need. And on the other side, if you are a parent, then how is your engagement with your children? What must you do? You must worry about the tarbiyah. You must ensure that they are named in the correct manner, etc., etc., etc. This is just one example. Then you can go on to neighbor, the brother, the siblings. You have a sibling? What is your engagement with him? What meaning? What do you? What must you fulfill of his rights? What must he fulfill of your rights? This is also visible, isn't it? You see, you fulfill you obey your parents is a visible action. You serve your parents is a visible action. The parents worry about the tarbiyah of the children. This is a visible action. So you can say these are three categories of visible actions. Number one, ibadat, worships, which are more connected to Allah Ta'ala. Then transactions, buying, selling, loaning. You follow the rules of deen surrounding them. And thirdly, social interactions, mu'ashara. Engaging with other people, you follow the rules. These are all visible actions. This is category number one. Now, category number one is visible actions. Category number two is invisible internal actions. Category number two, outer and visible actions. Category number one was Salah was an outer action, it is visible. Category number two is invisible internal, connected to the heart. And there are two types of actions connected to the heart. One is beliefs. In your heart, you have belief that Allah is one. This is action connected to your heart. Belief that Allah is one is not something connected to a tongue. If a person says Allah is one, Allah is one, but in his heart, for whatever reason, he does not believe it, then he does not. He believes there are multiple, then he does not believe in one Allah. So belief is something connected to the heart. The heart contains belief. It contains aqaid. So this is one type of action connected to the heart. Believing in certain things. And believing in certain things that this exists, the angels exist, the anbiya exist, the hereafter will exist. This is one category of internal actions. And this category is of course extremely important. Without this category, a person cannot be a believer. The second category of internal actions is regarding the good qualities, the praiseworthy qualities which exist within a person's heart. For example, bravery. It is a good quality, it exists within a person's heart. Because it is the feeling that a person, he is ready to take on anyone. It exists within a person's heart. Another example, kindness. Kindness is a feeling which exists within a person. Yes, it manifests. And it shows itself in the form of actions. If a person has kindness in his heart, compassion in his heart, then it will show itself in the form of he will spend on other people. If he finds someone in a spot of bother, he will help them. But this feeling of kindness and compassion exists in the heart initially. Similarly, a person has a quality of generosity. This also exists in the heart initially. The person has this feeling within the heart of spending on other people, of using his wealth to aid other people, to spend on other people, whether it is his family or other. And how does this manifest itself? He gives zakat, he gives charity, he gives to fund the masajid. So these are two internal qualities, two forms of internal action. So this is the introduction. There are external actions, which are three categories. There are internal actions, which are two categories, beliefs and ibadat. And before we go on, from this explanation, you will also already have understood the importance of internal actions. Beliefs, of course, everyone understands the importance of. But with that, these qualities that exist in a person's heart, these good qualities, why? Because one good quality exists in your heart, it leads to so many good external actions. If kindness exists in your heart, it leads you to do so many good actions connected to kindness. It will lead you to help people around you. If you see someone in difficulty, it will lead you to help them. If you are walking down the path and you see something which may be harmful to someone, that quality of kindness will lead you to move that. That this one quality of kindness which exists in your heart will lead you to so many good actions. And on the flip side, just like you have good qualities, you have evil qualities. So if there is cruelty in the heart, this one quality of cruelty will lead a person to so many evil actions. And these qualities of the heart, in the words of Sharia, in the words of Allah and Rasul, they are known as character. This is what they call good character. In dini terms, good character means that a person adorns his heart with these qualities. And a person rids his heart of evil qualities. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding good character, that there is nothing more weighty in the scales on the Day of Judgment than good character. That means salah is not more weighty than good character. Fasting is not more weighty than good character. Hajj is not more weighty than good character. But when people mention this hadith, they think good character means that a person is polite. He meets people in a well-mannered way. He speaks to them politely. Good character is a bit more than that. It is these qualities which exist within your heart. The fear of Allah is a good quality that exists within a person's heart. If I say the words good character, no person's mind will go to the fear of Allah, will it? But in that, when Deen says good character, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says good character in the hadith, he means these good qualities which exist in a person's heart, which include the fear of Allah, which include the love of Allah, which include humility, that a person feels that he is not better than other people. And like we said, each one of these qualities leads a person to so many good deeds. So if you have the fear of Allah in your heart, you don't have one good deed in your life. You have one good deed that brings 100 other good deeds. So on the Day of Judgment, it is no wonder that this good character will be so weighty. It is the most weighty thing on the Day of Judgment for this reason. Salah is one deed. But if the fear of Allah is in your heart, which is one good quality, it will not only bring salah, it will be tens of other good deeds into your life. And on the flip side, jealousy is an evil deed. It exists in the heart. It is a feeling, isn't it? Jealousy is not a physical action, it is a feeling. But that one ill, bad feeling, bad quality of jealousy will cause you to do so many evil deeds. The person you are jealous, it will cause you to do his riba. If you get the opportunity to harm him, it will cause you to harm him. If you are jealous because he has a lot of wealth, if you get the opportunity to decrease his wealth in a manner, you will do so. If you meet him, if your jealousy is very strong and you cannot control it, you may not even do salam to him. You will treat him harsh. All of these evil actions, this one quality of jealousy is causing. So, these qualities of the heart are extremely important. And this is not my topic today. My topic today is, in short, mentioned in one quality of the heart, which is compassion and wishing well for other people. Wishing well for other people. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you can be a complete mu'min until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. He has this feeling that he loves that he's healthy. He likes to be healthy. So he likes this for his brother. He wishes that my brother is healthy. If the news reaches his ears that so and so person is ill, then he doesn't think so what? No. Just like he wishes that I'm not ill, he has this feeling that I wish he was not ill. This is, you can call it compassion, you can call it well wishing. Deen gives it the word nasriha or nusr. And it is an unfortunate reality that this feeling does not exist in the majority of our hearts. Yes, maybe we have this feeling for our close family members. If something happens to our brother, to our mother, to our child, then yes, we will get this feeling. But that is because of family ties. But something you hear about a stranger, that's a member of his family has passed away, and no feeling. Whereas the demand of deen was that just like you would not wish for a family member of yours to pass away, then you have that feeling that, oh, you know, he's in grief. If you hear someone suffers financial loss, unexpected, their wealth was stolen, then when this reaches us, we just talk about it, interest, oh, there was a big robbery here at so-and-so person's house. We fail to implement this, to act according to this quality. If a person was a complete mu'min, his heart would have the feeling that, oh, my brother, he suffered such a big loss. You know, Allah Ta'ala make it easy for him. You would make dua. If you could help him financially, you would do so. But if not, you would make dua for him. Now, this quality of wishing well for other people, it is especially important in matters of deen. In matters of deen, that if there is deficiency in someone's deen, then you will have worry for it. I wish that deficiency didn't exist in the person. So if you are performing salah and someone you know is not performing salah, then you don't have this mindset that I am better than him. He doesn't even perform. You have this feeling that I wish he would perform salah also. And what is the proof you have this feeling? The proof you have this feeling, you have this feeling in your heart, is that you will do something. You will tell him, you will say a word or two to him that when you get a chance and he's in a good mood, that you are walking with him, you see, pray the compass salah. And if you don't have the courage to do that, or you think it will be useless, or you don't know him so well, then at the very least, when you lift your hands, you will remember him, that, oh Allah, give my neighbor the tawfiq to perform salah. Oh Allah, this sin is in my brother's life, give him the tawfiq to repent from this sin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. The mu'min is the mirror for another mu'min. What does this mean? When a person stands in front of the mirror, he can see exactly what is wrong with him. He can see that my topi is not straight. He can see that there is some dirt in my beard. The mirror tells him every fault of his. So similarly, the mu'min, the complete mu'min, he has worry and concern for the deen of his fellow for his fellow mu'minin, especially those who are close, and in general. And because of that, if he sees a fault within them, then he worries. He worries and he points it out to them. He doesn't point it out to them in the manner that, you know, you're doing this wrong, you're performing your salah. No. He thinks to himself, my brother is performing his salah wrong. This friend of mine is performing his salah wrong. If I do not correct it, then in the hereafter he will suffer. What if his salah is not accepted? What if it is accepted but he doesn't gain much reward for it? So it is my duty to stop him to save him from this harm. So then the person, he will speak. He will say it in a nice manner, that look, mashallah, you perform your salah regularly. Just this one error that is correct. So the mu'min is a mirror of another mu'min. He points out his faults. But he points out his faults out of compassion for him. These days, unfortunately, there are two mistakes. There are two errors. One is that we are not ready to point out anyone's fault. Why? We don't care about other people, in simple terms. Unfortunate reality. We don't care about other people, the deen of other people. I am on the past agenda, so-and-so is not on the past agenda. Even if it is a relative. Our mind doesn't even go there. That this person, he is on the path to Jahannam. That means in the hereafter, he may well have to spend time burning. No, we don't have that care. That is unfortunate reality. And if the thought does come to our mind, that let me tell him, then we think, there is no point in him, he will not listen. We give up before we even think about it. No one is going to listen. No one listens anymore if you give them dini advice. Of course people listen. There are people who have come into this masjid, complete strangers, people from other areas. And because as the imam, I have more of a responsibility this than you. So sometimes I just sit at the back. And I just watch people salah with the intention that is there anyone performing salah in a manner which is, there are serious errors in it. So two people came into the masjid. It's the first time they have come into the masjid. So first time they have come to him because they were from another area. If a person was to come into the masjid for the first time and this is someone who lives local, he does not attend the masjid. Then a person should be careful, thinking that this person, he may feel that the first time I'm coming to masjid, I'm getting a telling. Person, there is a lot of wisdom needed in these matters. When a person corrects someone, how he corrects them. But this wisdom needed doesn't mean, don't bother, it's too hard. So I would say that these two people from another area, both of them older than me, Both of them older than me. So I noticed that I noticed an error in the salah. I noticed in the salah was that after ruku they don't stand up properly, and between the sajda they don't sit up properly. Now there is something in salah called ta'dil arkan, which is wajib. Wajib means compulsory. And ta'dil arkan means that a person, he does every posture calmly. And calmly means that at the very least, in every posture he stops. So if he is performing salah, if he is in ruku, then after he gets up, then he stops there, for a moment at least. So if he is in ruku, he gets up and straight away he goes, then ta'dil arkan is not fulfilled. Ta'dil arkan means he must stop there. The body must stop there for a moment. Same with the sitting between the sajdas. The body must stop there for a moment. And then it must go into the next sajda. This is ta'dil al-khan and it is wajib, it is compulsory. So, and this is an error which is common. But this is something compulsory. So I noticed this. So afterwards I called them into office. They happily accepted it. My purpose of this example is that it is not this mindset we have made that no one is ready to listen. No, there is no point giving anyone deen advice. Is firstly because we don't care so much about the deen of other people. And secondly, we don't want to try. We don't want to try. If I had this mindset, that Brother Safwan has this error, and I need to correct it, because it is harmful for his hereafter, then I will start thinking, how can I correct it? Then I will start thinking that, you know, let me, next time I see Brother Safwan when he is alone. Because it is natural that if I correct Safwan's error in front of everyone, then Safwan will feel embarrassed. But if I correct Safwan's error in private, he will not feel embarrassed. In fact, the ulama have said regarding this hadith that al-mu'minu mira'atul mu'min. The mu'min is a mirror for another mu'min. So a mirror shows you your faults. If I stand in front of the mirror, it will show me my faults. But the mirror will not show me Amir's faults. If Amir stands in front of the mirror, he will see his faults. If Safwan stands in front of the mirror, he will see his faults. If I stand in front of the mirror, I will see my faults. The mirror doesn't publicize your faults. So similarly, when you correct someone's fault, don't do it publicly. Don't publicize it. No, do it in private. Do it because he will not feel embarrassed. He will feel more, he is more likely to accept your words. And the ulama have also said this, that the mirror, as well as showing your faults, it shows you good points. If I stand in front of the mirror will tell me that I am smartly dressed, but my topi is slightly incorrectly placed. It shows the good and the bad points. So similarly, when you correct someone, then first praise the good points. It's a fun, mashallah, your salah is spot on. But this one error needs rectified. So khair, this is a quality which we should endeavor to bring into our life. And how does a person should everything we do without thinking. Pondering just means thinking thoroughly, is a very important part of deen. A person does not just do everything in routine. If I see something, if I don't think thoroughly, then I see Safwan not performing salah properly, so what? So many other people do it. Now if I think thoroughly, then I will see Safwan and I will think that what if Safwan's salah is not being accepted? And no one tells him, so only when he's in the grave and his results come through, then he will be told that in so many years of your salah is not accepted. And then, so despite performing salah every day, he will have to suffer in the hereafter. Now I'm thinking, now I will have worry for Safwan. So, we need to bring this quality into our life. Especially, look, there are two categories of people. One is that category of people, so we don't know. And if a person doesn't know someone completely, then to an extent it is difficult to advise them. If he's a complete stranger and he is less likely to accept, okay, that is fine. For them, just make a dua. Make it a practice that whenever you see someone doing something wrong, then make dua for them. Make dua for them when? The next time you sit on them, salah? No. Make dua for them there and then. In your heart and mind, make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah give him tawfiq. Make two duas. Oh Allah, save me from this. Keep me safe from this mistake which this person is doing, and give him the tawfiq to change himself. Imagine there is a sinner. There is a sinner. And 50 people see him in the week. And the 50 people, none of them care. So every person will walk past, they will see he is performing a sin. And on the other hand, there are 50 people who are worried and concerned. So those 50 people will walk past, every person in his heart will make the dua, Allah give him tawfiq. Who knows how quickly his life will change. Person should not think this is useless, that I am making dua in my heart, and there is no, he is not suddenly removed. No. It is quite possible your dua will hit him, the effect of your dua will hit him sometime later. So this is one thing we need to do. The second thing, those people who are close to us, we should advise them. We should tell them in a good manner. We should create this mahol and this mindset that if there is something wrong, then we should tell the person. And if there is something wrong with me, then people should be able to tell me. They should not have this thought that, shall I tell him or shall I not? I might tell him, but he might say, mind your own business. Or he might not say anything, but I can tell from his facial expression that he doesn't like being told of. So we should create this mindset that firstly, people are able to tell us off. They're not telling us off, they're helping us. One of the pious predecessors of the past, Qadi Siddiq Manvi Rahmatullahi, he, as far as I can remember, he gives a very fantastic example. He says that imagine that you have two doors to your house, one round back door. And you always come in through the front door. So you never see the back of the house. Now your neighbor, he is in his back garden. I'm saying the example of my own. And he sees your back wall. And he sees that there is some crack in your back wall. So he comes and he tells you that there is this. Will you tell him, mind your own business? No, you will tell him, Jazakallah. Who knows how long it would be before that wall fell down and it would cost me thousands. And it will create so much damage. Jazakallah, you have done a great favor for me. So if the wall of your house falls down, worst case scenario, everyone in the house dies. Worst case scenario. And if everyone in the house dies, they will become shaheed. But if there is a wall in your deen structure, which is faulty, salah is a wall in your deen structure, it is faulty. Fasting is a wall in your deen structure, it is faulty. If there is any part of your deen which is faulty, worst case scenario, you are deprived from Jannah. You are deprived from everlasting success. So the worst case scenario there is you become shaheed. And the worst case scenario here is that you are deprived from Jannah. And you have to spend time in Jahannam. So when this is the case, if someone comes and mentions the fault to us, then he's doing us a great favor. In fact, my advice would be that if someone comes and tells me there's a fault, if someone comes to Safwan and he says to Safwan, you know what? You should wake up and perform the Fajr Salah also. And Safwan does perform the Fajr Salah. He just performs it in another masjid. Still, Safwan should not say, what are you talking about? I do perform the Fajr Salah. Safwan should not retort. Why? Because this person, he has come with a favor. He's doing Safwan a favor, isn't it? And when you do someone a favor, and they give you a response which is not very nice, you don't do the favor again. If you clean your neighbor's yard for them, and then you know, can you tell them, yeah, I clean it, and then just leave it. But they don't give a very nice response, you know, you'll not clean it again. You do a favor for someone, and they don't give a good response, you don't appreciate. So today, someone pointed on Safwan's error, but it was a mistake. Safwan did not have that error. But Safwan responded in the incorrect manner. Tomorrow when they see a real error of Safwan, they will not point it out. They will think, what is the point going to that guy? You don't get a very nice answer from him. This is a mahal we should create within ourselves, within our families, within our friend circles. Nowadays, any mention of deen in our we are sitting here and there will be people listening at home. So we have some level of religious worry, don't we? Yes, some level, varying levels. But despite that, in our conversations, there is rarely ever mention of deen. Ask yourself. Even this simple action of advising someone, you know, let's make sure that we perform Salah with Jama'ah. This is a simple example. There are so many other parts of deen. We are not just talking about major parts of deen, every part of deen. But we are not ready to mention this. We feel embarrassed to mention deen in our conversations. We think that people will think this person just keeps going on about deen. We have destroyed this mahal. And those of us with religious concern, we can revive this mahal. Sahaba radiallahu anhu had this mahal. Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, it is mentioned in Bukhari Shaykh, that he used to say to his companion, that let us gather and talk about Iman for a few minutes. They used to have this mahal. And this mahal benefits a lot. As you say, there is brother Amin, for example, he doesn't obey his parents. And one is that no one tells him. So he doesn't cross his mind. And now we are having a conversation. We are just sitting here. And we are not specifically mentioning Amir. We are just saying that, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this for the obedience of my parents. The first benefit is now it is crossing Amir's mind. That this is something that I must do. Maybe he's not practicing upon it, but it will cross his mind. And that is the first stage to practice. That he feels that, no, there is something which I need to do, which I am supposed to be doing, which I am not doing. Otherwise, Amir doesn't obey his parents. And all of us can see it, but none of us mentions it. Slowly, Amir's mentality will be, it is fine, because Safwan knows, Safwan can see me. And Safwan is religious, if there was something wrong with it, Safwan will say it. Amir doesn't perform Salah in the masjid. I'm just giving you as an example. Amir doesn't perform Salah in the masjid. Safwan performs Salah in the masjid. I perform Salah in the masjid. Aqeel performs Salah in the masjid, and we are all friends with Amir. But whenever we meet Amir, we don't say a word. Amir's mentality, it's fine not to perform Salah in the masjid, because all of these people who are more religious than me, they're not telling me anything. When you stop mentioning some part of deen, then people stop thinking it is part of deen. When people stop thinking it is part of deen, why are they going to bother bringing it into their life? And because we have stopped talking about deen, this is slowly happening. So we need to correct this. Firstly, we should talk about the first point. My intention today is not to deliver a long lecture, because I have not had much sleep today. So I am also tired, and my evening food is still left. You have probably come with all your bellies full. Yes, alhamdulillah, but I am not. I am still left to eat. So the first point, let us open ourselves up to criticism. Criticism means that we should tell our close family members, our friends, that if you see something wrong with my deen, tell me please. If you see something wrong with my salah, tell me please. We should allow other people to tell us a word or two. We should be ready to tell people a word or two. We should have this worry for other people's deen. Thirdly, we should make this mahal of talking about deen from time to time. The mahal should be said that a person does not think before talking about deen. He doesn't have to think that if I say this, people will think I am boring. People will wholeheartedly accept it. They will carry on the conversation. If one person starts about deen, carry on the conversation about deen. So that he feels that, no, my conversation is accepted here. In my friend circle, people like having this conversation. So this is a very short but a very important part of deen. Worrying about others, worrying about other people's deen. One Muslim becoming a Muslim for another Muslim. And in fact, I will say it myself, that if any person sees a deficiency in me, I am a human, no human is perfect, then they should come and tell me. It will be beneficial for me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a topic to practice upon this. Ameen wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam.